Let's call to order the special meeting of November 8th of the Improvements Committee of the Rancho Murrieta Community Services District. I guess we're special because we moved it to a different date than it was originally scheduled. And then consider finding that as a result of the COVID-19 emergency meeting and purpose person would present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees, and the meeting is authorized to be held by teleconference pursuant to government code. Any objections to that finding? Hearing none, we will move on to comments from the public. Amelia, any hands or chats?
Well, I'm Amelia today, so I have no hands or chats at this time.
Okay. All right, Amelia, very well done. monthly update, Mike.
This is Travis. I will be doing the monthly update.
Okay.
Good morning. Good morning, sir. Good morning, everybody. We'll start off with the SP-170 project. The water treatment plant facility, sodium hypochlorite conversion. HDR has completed the design at the 60% level and has given us a cost range of $520,000 to $660,000. That does not include design costs. The district had previously envisioned $892,500 to complete the project, with the $352,000 allocated from SB-170, and then adding in the $238,300 for design fees would bring our estimated range to about $758,300 to $898,300. The recycled water disinfection project, we've had an initial meeting with Dewberry to talk about the preliminaries, and that's as far as it's gone right now. We're waiting for them to produce us something as part of the design process. Granley safety improvements. We received a preliminary engineering report from HDR. The preliminary engineering report provided a construction cost of a range of $300,000 to $720,000, once again, not including design costs. The district had previously envisioned $945,000 to complete the project. So with the $170,000 allocated, with the $170,000 allocated from the SP-170. We did perform a condition assessment on the forebay. We had the engineers come out, our engineers come out, and it will be referenced, their assessment will be referenced during the design phase for any kind of structural repairs that will potentially be needed. For the water, the Chesbro bathymetric survey, that was done, and we're still waiting on a completed report that will give us the actual levels for the height of the lake. So once we have that, then we will be able to update you guys more once we have that information.
Travis, do you mind if I just cut in a little bit on that?
Sure.
So basically we got the preliminary results from the survey, and there is a difference noted between the capacity previously established and then the new capacity curve. But what that difference will be will depend on the datum that we were using to measure. And so we need to discover that first. And then we also need to get the complete report. So that is in the works.
Thank you, Michael. Laguna Joaquin, previously RMA had requested water from the district to raise the level in Laguna Joaquin.
Hey, Travis, you're kind of fading out.
Oh, sorry.
Try to find your microphone speaking.
Can you hear me now? Okay, I'm trying to not be too loud. So, on Laguna Joaquin, RMA had requested that the district provide them with some water to raise the level in Laguna Joaquin about 6 to 12 inches to help them with potential odors and to also be able to keep their aeration on. At that time that they requested it, we were not able to do anything without board approval since their water right was curtailed. On November 2nd, their curtailment was lifted, and we contacted John Sullivan, and they opened up the valve over there by the by Starbucks Coffee, and we opened it up for 2 days, and we raised the level about 12 and a half inches. So we were able to get in some water at that point. 2 days later, I spoke with John to let him know that they had 12 inches, and he went and had the valves closed. Rio also Prodigy Electric is scheduled to put the one VFD that we had purchased. He's scheduled to install that tomorrow. And
excuse me, Travis. You're still cutting out a little bit. You're definitely not too loud. So
okay, how about this?
That's much better. You're very muffled, so that's a lot better.
I opened up my laptop. Yeah, I opened up my laptop.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Sorry about that. So should I start over from the beginning? No. Just kidding. The Rio Oso update. Prodigy Electric is scheduled to install the one VFD that we purchased tomorrow and Thursday. So that way that will be installed and ready to go. And we are scheduled. We did order the second VFD last Friday, and it is about 20 weeks out. Jeremy from Prodigy Electric is trying to get it sooner than that. But as it sits right now, we're looking at about 20 weeks out for the second VFD. Kirby Pump is scheduled next week to install the pumps. We're going to start with pump 2 and get that all up and running with the new VFD. So we have a brand new VFD and pump for pump 2. And then once we've ran that for 24 hours to make sure everything works good, he will go ahead and then install pump 1. And that's scheduled for next week. A lot of this is going to be weather. You know, how the weather is going to work, but that is the estimated schedule for at this time. Sewer, the wastewater facility has been turned off for the season. The district supplied 168.9 million gallons of recycled water to the golf course and to Van Fleck Ranch this season, which was a total of about 49.3 gallons more than last season. So we were able to do a little bit better this year. Lift station projects. The pumps were ordered for 3B. First, the 3B lift station. The pumps were ordered for 3B. The pumps that we decided to go with, they actually had some in the United States. And so the estimated time for delivery on those is about four weeks. Once we get those, I know Michael has been talking with our engineer so that they can do all of the planning for all three lift stations at one time, and then we'll be able to get 3B lift station done.
So basically, what Travis is saying is that we're going to combine all three of those projects into one set of design plans and have
Alameda Starter Shack and 3B. On the drainage, the Lake 11 project, on October 25th, we gave them a project payment because they had a substantial completion of the project, and we paid them $294,933, which left a total of $15,523 that has been retained to complete remaining tasks. The flap valve has been installed, and then there are a couple of other items that need to be done. I instructed Peter, who is one of our inspectors, to get a punch list together of things that need to be done so we can close that project out. The pedestrian bridge, I don't really know much about this. Michael, could you help me with this?
Yeah, so we've been talking about this off and on for about a year. So per direction at the last committee meeting, staff is in the process of getting a new title report. Once we get that title report, we're to bring that to the board for acceptance. And, you know, it doesn't look like we'll probably have everything ready for the November meeting. So I'm thinking probably the December meeting, we'll be able to bring the attorneys will be drafting up a transfer agreement to transfer that property back to RMA, and then we'll have the updated title report at that time.
Thank you, sir. Site development update, Riverview. The developer at the time of putting this together was working on installing dry utilities and tying in the water line from Karsten. That did happen on November 3rd. And then we were also able to do our tie-in for water for the golf course bathroom at that time also. So that is up and running now. And the tie-in happened and there was no problems and everything looks good on that. All concrete was poured except for one drainage inlet that hasn't been installed yet. And they're supposed to start paving in the area next week. Or actually this week, excuse me. I guess weather pending. On the retreats, the contractor is requesting water meters and service being installed in the model homes at the retreats north. At this time, I do not know exactly where that's at. I will have to get an update from our utility crew to see if that has been done. I don't know the exact process on that. I'm learning that. So at this point, I don't know where that's at this time.
Yeah, Travis, I can chime in just briefly. I do not believe that that KHOV has been I think they've filled out the paperwork, but I don't believe they brought in the connection charges. So we agreed to connect their two model homes so they can use them to sell other homes. So they just need to go through the same procedures that they did with the homes in the east where they paid for the utilities. And then we install those water meters.
Okay. And then the contractor wants to start installing meter boxes. And apparently the streetlights, they're starting to get those working on getting the streetlights installed. The residents, Michael, can you?
Yep. We were recently informed by the developer that they will be taking a phased approach for the residences east and west. There is a letter attached to this program, just showing a letter that was sent over there. The district has no issue with the phased approach, as long as all the utilities are as they should be at each level, basically, in a nutshell. And, you know, I discussed this with our district engineer as well. So that's there and definitely the planning phases for the residences.
All right. Thank you. Circle K and Shell, The contractor there right now, they're building the building. The concrete slab was poured, and so now they're just getting the building built. And as of us doing this report, they're still waiting on getting approval for their fire service line. I guess they're just waiting on the fire marshal to come over and take a look. The Marietta Gardens Lot 2, which is the tractor supply, the contractor, they're still continuing to build that building. The pet hospital, the district is in the process of a site design review. And Marietta PD offices, Lot 10, there is no update on that. Just for the interim staffing changes at this time, I have taken over as interim director of operations. And Ryan Wanker, who was one of my operators, has stepped up and is the interim chief plant operator at this time.
I'd like to add that, Travis, I think you're doing an excellent job as the interim director of operations. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. That's the end of my report. Does anybody have any questions about anything?
Well done, Travis. Marty, anything?
I think the question I had was on the next, one of the next items. So we'll go on to that.
Okay. Paula, any hands or chats?
No hands, no chats.
I have only one question, and that's regarding the Lake 11 project. Our new construction bypasses the old system. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'd say that's correct.
What did we do to the pipes that came out of that overflow structure? Did we just plug them?
Yeah, we slurry filled about 5 feet in and the entire overflow. Okay. So that's been slurry filled, and I believe it's been slurry filled on the other end.
So if there was if there was a leakage into that structure, it's got no place to go.
Yeah, basically.
It's going to be stuck. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Let's move on then to the Retreats East Infrastructure Accept.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
Okay.
At this next board meeting, we're going to be bringing two items.
Hold on a second. I'm going to stop sharing so I can mute some people here. Okay, I think that did it. Sorry, everyone.
No problem. So the district is, can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to be bringing two items to the November meeting. One is what our attorneys come up with for infrastructure acceptance. It's kind of called titled the bill of sale. It's where the developer says, I bequeath these infrastructure to the, and we're also going to be bringing a resolution. So the board accepts the resolution, and then I go ahead and sign that bill of sale, and that infrastructure then gets transferred over to the district. There was a number of things that had to happen to make that possible, and the developer has done all the things that they needed to do, like provide us with record drawings, AutoCAD files, provide us with actual costs of the infrastructure, provide us with evidence of public utility right-of-way easements and bonding. What's going to be interesting about the way this is happening, because we're just going to be accepting the east infrastructure at this time and not the north infrastructure, because they've separated the east from the north, that the warranty period for the warranty bond won't begin until the north infrastructure is accepted. So in between when we accept the infrastructure, if the board accepts it in November, there'll be a subdivision bond in between when the warranty bond, between we accept it and when the warranty bond warranty period starts. You know, in a sense, you know, if for some reason something doesn't work, we just ask them to fix it, because we still have to approve of their infrastructure in the north, and I believe that they would be wanting to fix it, that any issues happen in between now and when the warranty bond starts. So it's kind of tricky, but I discussed it with council yesterday, and I feel that we're well protected. So everything has been set up to be able to accept this infrastructure. And just kind of going back a few steps, we did get, in the spring, we got an addendum to our facilities extension agreement, where KHAV did agree to improve Lift Station 6B. And in that agreement, it says Lift Station 6B shall be completed prior to accepting any infrastructure. Well, we realized that because of the long lead times on some of the pumps for 6B, that we went ahead and said that we would accept the infrastructure for the east as long as they kept moving on lift station improvements. So I believe that that last item that I mentioned, that would be the only thing that I would not recommend, that we accept the infrastructure if they stop working on the lift station or have noted that they will stop working on the lift station. But other than that, I think we should be all clear to be able to accept that infrastructure by resolution, sign the bill of sale, and then start booking that and depreciating that infrastructure as our own. I've already added it to our GIS map, so we're moving right along. Are there any questions? That was kind of a lot.
Do we need to make a recommendation to the board, or is this just an information item?
This is kind of an informational item. I mean, we could go through that procedure, but I felt that, you know, this was something that's, I think we've been talking about for a little bit.
I had a question. Is there any interaction between the east and the north for Sweet Peak kind of storm drainage issues?
I think they're, for the most part, it's pretty well separated.
Okay. So if we got a rush of mud going down the east, it won't affect the north?
I think there's a possibility that it would. There are some conduits in the east that the north has to pass through. So yeah, that's true. And, you know, once again, if there are issues with the infrastructure, even before the warranty bond, we're gonna request that they fix that.
Okay. Second question is, are we all up to date with fees for inspection on this project, at least for the north?
No, we are not up to date. I have Paula working on that, and she has made some progress with other developers. It's just a matter of time. It is going to take a little time, but that is one of the highest priorities.
Isn't that something that ought to go with the acceptance, is that we're all clear on fees? I mean,
not necessarily.
What if they decide they don't want to pay it, or they want to argue about it?
Well, then we don't accept the north. I mean, that would be my thought, is if we still have a bulk of their development, probably, you know, there's 50, I think it's 52 homes. We're accepting enough infrastructure for 10. They've still got 42 hanging out. So if they don't play right, then we don't accept their infrastructure.
Do we know if their deposits been exceeded yet?
Paula, do you happen to know that? I don't blame you if you don't, but do you happen to know that?
No, I don't happen to know that. I'm actually going back to the beginning of the development to reconcile each fiscal year against all of the labor costs and the engineering costs. So it's quite the undertaking, and it does take some time. I just wrapped up another development that is still in the process. And that one took me about 3 straight days to do. So this one's going to take a little bit more time because there was a changeover in ownership and there's been a lot of movement recently. So I am working on it, but it is going to probably take me a few days to get it cleaned up and get it solidified and identify all the deposits against the invoices.
Okay.
It would be my thought, Marty, that we get that straightened out, you know, long before the north part of the development comes due. We also have, and this kind of segues into the next item, we also have a meeting scheduled for the 16th here at the district. It's going to be Cahav, myself, Travis, and our attorney, and we're going to be discussing claims made by Cahav that, you know, all or part of Lift Station 6B should be paid through the sewer improvement fees. So we're going to be having that discussion as well. And that will have some bearing on the agenda item for infrastructure acceptance at the meeting.
Okay.
So there's a lot of moving pieces. I know it's been a little while since Rancho Marietta has done a development, you know, of this size, I mean, other than the gardens. And what we're trying to do as staff is get all our ducks in the row and then create systems so that we no longer get behind on, you know, developer billing, or we know how to transfer infrastructure, we know what to charge them correctly. So I'm looking forward to utilizing this project as a template for being able to deal effectively with future projects.
Okay.
Very good. Any other questions on infrastructure acceptance? Paula, any hands or chats?
No hands or chats.
All right. Let's move on to the Lift Station 6B sewer credit.
This is basically just giving the improvements committee an FYI that we will be meeting with Cahav on the 16th to discuss the sewer credits and the use of those for Lift Station 6B.
Okay.
I don't really have anything else at this time.
Right. Update on Rio Oso, Lake 11.
I basically covered that in my update for those two items.
Yeah. I'm just going to add, Marty, that it's my intention that we bring both of those back as agenda items, as they are not complete projects yet, and they're emergency projects that we continue to request the board extend the emergency nature of both those projects by 3/4 vote.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is integrated water master plan.
Okay, I'll take this, Travis. So we put out a second RFP, and I was very disappointed because I had talked to several consultants that said that they were interested, and I thought I was going to get more than one proposal. We did receive one proposal with the team of Adkins Engineering and Mattis. Mattis had done our previous integrated water master plan, and those two firms decided to team up. I thought the proposal looked decent, but as I had mentioned earlier, I was somewhat disappointed in the amount of proposals that we did receive. I was hoping for some more competition. I contacted Carollo, who said they were going to propose, and he told me yesterday on the phone that he did not have the resources to commit, that he was sorry, that he should have sent me a letter. I agreed he should have sent me a letter. HDR, they didn't have the resources at that time to commit to that project. I contacted a number of agencies yesterday, including Keller and Associates, Waterworks, Black and Veatch, and GHD. I haven't heard back from Black and Veatch and GHD, but I did hear back from Waterworks. They told me that they saw the proposal on the CSDA site, and at that time they once again couldn't commit their resources. Keller and Associates, I did have a pretty good discussion with them, and they said that they may be potentially interested if we fly the proposal, the RFP again. I've not heard back yet from Black and Veatch and GHD, but it sounds like some people were seeing, at least seeing the RFP on the CSDA site. And I believe that we, Amelia sent out RFP directly to about six or seven firms. So I don't know if it's bad timing, but we did not get the proposals that I would like to see. And then, the proposal came back from the one team that did it a little higher than expected, which I also didn't expect, because the team, half of the work from the team would be done from an Oregon-based firm that typically has billing rates about 60% of the typical big box billing rates, big box firm billing rates. So that was kind of a surprise. So maybe I had underestimated the cost of doing this amount of work when I set the $250,000 budget amount. So we have a couple of choices. Choice one, we accept the proposal from Atkins and Mattis, and I try to work with them and negotiate the fee down a little bit if possible. Or we put the RFP out again and we really try to hit it really hard, try to just call everybody we think of to call and try to get someone to commit resources to it. We did have, like I said, Keller and Associates said that they would potentially be interested, and I have a couple other calls out. Just to kind of frame the impetus of this project, this is not just our integrated water master plan update. We haven't done one since 2010. It's probably time we did. It's also the urban water plan that we're going to need to do once we get over the 3,000th home. So this will provide us with the information that we can utilize. Once we do hit that in like 1 or 2 years, we'll be able to put together a pretty low cost urban water management plan with using all the information from that report. That's the theory, at least. We're looking at a 9 or 10 month project horizon to get all this stuff done. And, as you know, we have some development impending on the north. We're not exactly sure what that's going to look like, but it would be, our responsibility to create a water supply assessment to provide that to the developer and to the county. And it most likely makes sense to have our integrated water master plan updated prior to going into our water supply assessment. So that's kind of the impetus of why we're kind of wanting to do it now and moving forward and getting it done. I don't think we want to wait too long to start the plan, but could we go another month and a half and try to find additional consultants that might be interested? Yes. Would the price likely go down? Probably no. So that's kind of where we're at in a nutshell.
Okay. I want to get, my opinion is I want to get this done, and I definitely don't want to go past the December board meeting date. I'd hope that we would get this done by the November board meeting. But Marty, I know you've definitely got some thoughts on this. So
shoot. I think there's one other alternative that wasn't been considered. What if we bypass the RFP process and we get Mike to negotiate with at least two firms and see how we turn out?
You know, that's a good question. I'd have to get with council on that. It's been a while since I've done this in California. I think we probably could, but I'd want to make sure.
I think we set up a process for that just recently, and it just takes board approval to do it.
Well, if the committee would like, I could talk to the people that were potentially interested, which was Keller and Associates.
Mm-hmm. At least we'd we could save some time and
yeah,
and we could hone in on the ones that are really interested instead of these RFP process take a long time.
And, the only thing that I'd definitely want to talk to Mr. Ramos a little bit, because we did go through an RFP process,
yeah,
and one of the firms, you know, the last two firms, they went through the process, they did what they were supposed to do. And if we go award it to someone else, I mean, it's probably our right to do it. I just want to make sure that we're on firm ground.
Yeah,
if we decide to go with someone else.
That's fine. I mean, if we can't find somebody else to negotiate with, then maybe we're stuck with what we got, but at least we should give it a try, I think.
I mean, I could call Keller & Associates today, mm-hmm, and, you know, see when they could give us a proposal and the price.
Yeah.
So Marty, you're the expert on this RFP process. I don't know much about it, but if you turned in a proposal on an RFP and you're ready to go and nobody else does, and then someone comes back to you and says, well, geez, you know, we didn't get any other answers, would you be willing to negotiate? I think I'm not an expert on this, but my answer would be my negotiation is in the RFP. That's my price.
Well, any RFP is negotiable even after they submit it. It's my biggest interest is dealing with one other outfit besides the one.
Just getting comparison so that we're in our due diligence, yes, making sure that we're not overpaying. I get that.
Plus we need them. We might learn something on what one person thinks important and the other one doesn't think is important.
Right. You get a lot of good information sometimes in the proposals. You know, one thing that we did have in our request for proposals that we have the right to, you know, not hire anybody, basically. We have the right to terminate the RFP process. Right.
My point is if you've gotten the RFP from the team that wants the project and we end up wanting to use them, have we torn down the relationship because we've asked them to essentially negotiate something that they've already priced out?
I don't think so. I think everything, you know, I think it's always open. Contracting price for engineering is always open to negotiation. You know, they may say no, but I don't think that would, I've worked with this firm for 10 years. I don't think that would be an issue. You know, a lot of times sometimes they find things like, you don't really need that portion, or maybe they can move their work around a little bit and, you know, have the higher priced people doing more review and the lower priced people doing more of the work. So I think everything's open to negotiation with consultants, in my opinion.
Okay. I get that. So if we want to go by Martin's plan, do we need to put something on the board agenda for the board to vote on that allows you to negotiate with the firms that are willing to step up?
You know, we did that, I don't know, 3 or 4 board meetings ago for the actually it was for the express purposes of finding an accounting person. And so it's the same philosophy to me that we have the ability to waive the RFP. The RFP process is in our policies, I guess you call it. And we can amend those policies by the board.
Yeah, Marty is correct. We did that exact action to ended up hiring the Poon Group to stabilize our financial issues.
Right. So my question is, does this need to be put on the agenda as a roll call vote, so that we take care of it this board meeting and this doesn't drag on any further?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of thinking out loud. I'm wondering if, you know, I negotiate with, you know, one or two other firms, select the firm that's going to be best fit our needs, and just bring that for approval and acceptance at the board meeting. I could work with Marty on that.
Yeah.
I mean, that could get it done in November. Otherwise, we'll be starting December.
I think the hard part is get somebody to commit that they want to give us a proposal.
Yeah, and here's the thing, you know, proposals take time. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I sent a copy of the RFP that we sent out because Keller and Associates was interested in seeing, you know, what kind of workload that would be to see if they could do it. They said they're potentially interested. If they come back and they say, hey, we can do this, I'll say, okay, well, let's negotiate a price. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it makes sense, and, you know, maybe a one or two pager, but, you know, asking for a full proposal might take more time for them to produce. Sounds like you're just saying like, hey, here's the scope of work and what will it cost you to do this? And then we just compare it with our other RFP response. Is that a fair assessment of what you're discussing?
I think you ought to get some sort of handle on what they would include. You know, even if it's, you know, there's some steps that have to be taken care of, and we want to make sure that they actually do it. So I think you could do your homework before the next board meeting and with some of these firms. If you're successful, then you could negotiate with them. I mean, if the board agrees and you find somebody, you can negotiate with them. If everything falls flat, then we're almost stuck with the RFP that we got.
I'm wondering if we just, I don't know, it kind of feels like we're just doing an RFP again.
Not really. I mean, it could be lower key, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you might see it when they come up with a fee proposal. They list all the tasks that have to be done.
Yeah, a task, like kind of like a task order.
Yeah, they're going to list all the tasks to be done, and you can quiz them about their
experience. Yeah, I think if I just ask for, now I'm kind of thinking out loud again, which I probably shouldn't do. So ask for a, you know, the fee schedule, task schedule, mm-hmm. and then list out some experience. You know, it could be like a two or three pager.
Yeah. They could just probably send you something, a list of the last five of these that they did or something like that.
And then Marty, maybe you and I get together.
Okay.
When we get a few, if we get a few, and then depending on, we just keep that. We kind of have a little agenda item for that right now anyways. And so we would just modify that agenda item to, depending on what we come up with.
Yeah. I think it's worth a shot myself. I mean,
yeah. The timing though, I mean, we're getting the board packet out. We should be, you know, submitting that board packet probably, you know, Thursday evening. So it's going to be between kind of now and then. We could put the board agenda item in there, and then we just don't end up using it.
That's fine.
So that would be an agenda item to bypass the RFP process.
Yeah, whatever that language needs to be. But
all right. So
but you could also put this how would I say it? The conclusion of the RFP on the agenda too. Everything falls flat.
Yeah, keep both of them on the agenda. And we just get rid of the one we don't need.
Yes.
It's going to look weird that we're saying accept RFP results and then bypass RFP process.
Yeah, it does, but I mean, but so be it.
Okay, I'll figure out a way to make that look good.
Okay.
Very good. Anything further on this item? Paula, is there hands or chats?
No hands, no chats.
All right. Which moves us on to director and staff comments. Marty, anything?
No, I don't have anything else.
Anything from staff? Comments, suggestions?
Not at this time.
This is Tom. I want to commend Travis and Mike for stepping up and thank Paula for stepping in for Amelia today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Very good. So for me, kind of a sidebar, I am in Mexico next week. And seeing as how we're shy one board, one director, Tom and Michael, I assume Marty, you will be at the board meeting. I haven't heard that Tim's not going to be. So I'm hoping that Linda is planning on attending. Have we heard anything different than that? Does anybody know?
I haven't heard anything different. And we'll definitely need three for the 3 out of 4 votes for the emergency, both emergency projects.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So I guess I can make myself available if needed. But if not needed, I would sure like to rather be doing something else down there. So
loud and clear.
Let me know if I'm needed. Otherwise, yeah. Assume that I will not be attending the board meeting next week. Okay, that brings us to the end of the agenda. Thank you, everyone, for attending this morning, and have a great day. We are adjourned.
Take care. Thanks.
Thank you. Everybody.